Amen. If you'll take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Skip down to verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thy Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth, ministers of them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I want to preach a message to you this morning about not letting the things of God slip. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray and ask that you'd meet with us in a special way. Father, I'm asking you for the power to preach your word with boldness. Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. And Lord, that you'd get all the honor and glory for everything that's said. Lord, speak to our hearts that we would make decisions that we would not slip. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And our verse, and the verse, chapter number 2 and verse 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. The earnest heed is what I want to talk about just for a moment here. Earnest heed is a passionate pursuit of an object eager to obtain, and heed is to mind or regard or to give an attention. So he's saying here, you need to give earnest, passionate attention to what's being said here, what you have heard, because at any time you could let those things slip. I want to talk to you again this morning about not letting the things of God slip in our lives. In our country, in the world that we live in, and even in my own life, I find sometimes it's easy to let things slip. And I began to think of something trivial as a diet. Something trivial as I set my mind and attention on maybe losing a few pounds. And because I'm tall, I had it well, but I have a standard suit that when that suit doesn't fit, it's time to go on a diet because I can't buckle or put together or whatever it may be. So you take that diet, you get in the mindset, but at any time when the cupcakes come out or the cake comes out or whatever it may be, or even if I had a hard day out soul winning or out at work, had a hard day, you're more likely to let down some of the guard and slip a little bit. I began to think about common sense in our country, which is not really common anymore. I would venture to say common sense in our country, both politically and publicly. I read a story just this morning in New Hampshire, and I don't know if this is pastor in this story or not, but it was in New Hampshire. A man had bought a cheeseburger and fries. He was on the beach, and one of those rats with wings, we call them seagulls, came down to eat the burger. And the man shooed the bird away with his foot, hurt the bird's leg. He got a $124 fine for kicking a seagull. We have lost common sense in this country. And I think it may be pastor that did that. He told us yesterday that he went and ate the best cheeseburger of his life. Matter of fact, I asked him, I said, how's the vacation going? And what places have you been? The first thing he said, we went to a pizza place. Had the best pizza of my life. I said, no, what kind of places have you been? Had the best hamburger I ever had in my life. No, where have you been? We went to see a big pumpkin or something like that. So they're having a good time. But we have lost common sense. Also, I saw a video just this week. And this is really the illustration of this. It really applies to our entire life. But it was a family in the Netherlands. They had went to one of these safaris. And I believe this is one of the safaris that was not tame whatsoever. They pulled up to a pack or a herd, whatever you call the cheetahs. They're laying there in the shade. And these people, it was two sisters, a mom and a dad, and what looked to be about a four-year-old little boy. They get out of the car because they want to get closer pictures. And so they begin to take pictures of these cheetahs. And these cheetahs are looking at them like, you people have lost your mind. But we're glad you have. So they're taking pictures of these cheetahs. They, I guess, go back in the car and they go around a bend where the cheetahs are sitting right here, and they're now in the open. And they get out and they're admiring the beauty of the safari. And as they're admiring the beauty, they step further and further away from that car. I mean, they start slipping from common sense. They start slipping from safety. And they get further and further away from that car. And all of a sudden, you see one of the cheetah's heads poke up. And they shot it like a missile and surrounded this family. Mom and the sisters are running to the car. Mom has the four-year-old. She's shooing the cheetahs around. And they're swiping at it, trying to get mom and the baby. They're hungry lions trying to get this family. Because they got complacent in their surroundings. They thought they were safe. They got away. They slipped away from the safety of the car. And all of a sudden, they're in a lot of trouble. Thankfully, they got in the car safely. Mom was able to scare the cheetah away where it didn't hurt her or the baby. But the point is I'm just making is that we have a tendency to slip. Publicly, also politically, I don't even want to get into much of that. I'm not a political pundit. But you start thinking about things of wanting to get rid of the immigration, the customs enforcement agency, but yet you allow illegal immigrants to do all kinds of murder and rape and crime in this country and want to give them a free pass from that. I'd say we slip from some common sense. And I wanted to use our country as an example of slipping, but I couldn't because this country has fallen. There's not just any slippage anymore. They have lost the common sense to call evil evil and right right. It's all opposite now. You have debauchery of abortion, and I read an article or studied this out, but it's up to a 1 year fine and $1,000 or 1 year jail sentence and $1,000 fine if you kill an eagle. Did you know that? Up to $1,000 fine and 1 year of mandatory jail sentence if you kill an eagle. And I looked on my computer about the estimation of abortions, baby murdered in their mother's belly just this morning in our country. 750,000 babies have already been aborted. And it's still legal in our country. So this country hasn't but slipped from the things of old. They have actually fallen. So I can't really use them as an example, but we as Christians, we as the body of Christ, we as the church of the living God need to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And we have had the privilege to have one of the best pastors in America that loves our families, that loves us to enough to give us the word of God, but yet we get dull of hearing sometimes and we don't take earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I want to look at an example. I'm going to walk down some of these passages. I want to look at an example of some of the men of God that did take earnest heed. It's going to be a repetitive message because it's going to really give earnest heed to the Word of God. That's really going to be the whole orchestrating of the Word of God. And let me tell you this right now. I'm not here to try to get you to make a decision. I am for my preaching, asking God to use that. But you have to make decisions in your life and your heart as the Holy Spirit leads what you are slipping from, what you have slipped from, and what you are currently discerning that you have let slip in your life. You ask the Lord to speak to you even as the preaching is going on. Have I slipped? Have I let the things of God slip in my life? And if I had, God, would you please help me not to let those things slip? Would you please help me to hold firm to what you've taught me in your word because of who you are? Look at the first verse. It says here, God who in sundry times and divers manners. I just want to stop right there. Sundry times is going to be various times, different times. And then we see the word divers manners. That means in different ways. God has spoken. Let me just say that this morning. God has spoken. He's spoken at various times and in different manners. And I have here how he spoke. He spoke, first of all, he spoke using angels. We see that. He spoke by an angel to Abraham for the promised son, Lot, warning him to flee from Sodom. He spoke to Daniel. It was Gabriel, the angel, who spoke to Daniel explaining the tribulation. So angels have spoken. And you see in verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a recompense of reward." So angels have spoken, but also we see here that God has spoken through a loud voice. And I named some of the people that he spoke to. He spoke to Adam in the garden. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Joshua. He spoke to Samuel, Nathaniel, Elijah, Jeremiah. God spoke out loud. So in diver manners, sundry time in divers manners, God spake. But God also spake to Noah. I want you to leave your hand here because we will be coming back. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. I want to tell you the story of Noah very quickly, because this is a man who gave earnest heed to the things that he had heard, and he didn't let them slip one little bit, and I praise God for that. But before I get to the story of Noah here, I want to let you know that don't get your story of Noah from the movies. You want to get the story of Noah, you turn to Genesis chapter 6, 7. You start reading the account of Noah. Don't let Russell Crowe or any Hollywood tell you how Noah went. I've never even seen that movie, but I can probably guarantee you it's not biblically accurate. All right? And I say that because this past summer, my family and I got to go to Branson, Missouri. And we had a great time up there. I recommend that place. Very friendly, family friendly. One of the things we did at Branson, Missouri, we went to see Sights and Sounds Theater. Now, I do recommend this as a family entertainment fun, but don't get your doctrine from the Sights and Sounds Theater. They're not biblically accurate. They take a lot of liberties. So what we did in our family is we went ahead and studied the story of Samson before we went up there, because I did not want Hollywood or Sights and Sound teaching my children about the story of Samson. So we were able to dissect that, go over that, and so we had a great time watching the Sights and Sound. But one of the interesting parts is after Samson had slew the thousand men with the bone of a donkey, he was able to conquer all those people. And of course, we learned in the story that he was then athirst. He was athirst, and God provided water to come from that jawbone of that donkey, and he was able to take some refreshing water out of that. Well, in the production of Samson that we watched, right about the time they did the theatrical performance of him slaying those men, all of a sudden when he cried out to God, behind him a big gusher comes out with water. And my boy Michael said, "Hey, that's not how it's supposed to go." It was absolutely precious. It was great. What I said all that, don't get your doctrine from Hollywood or Sights and Sounds or movies. You get your doctrine from the Word of God. Doctrine simply means teaching. In verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." All right, so Noah, we see that in the old and the book of Genesis, God saw that his spirit shall not always strive with man because of the wickedness was exceedingly great upon the face of the earth. God said, "I will destroy man that I had made." But Noah found grace in the sight of God. And I'm thankful for the grace that Noah found. That's God's unmerited favor, grace that spoke to his heart, that enabled him to do the will and the work of God. He found grace in the sight of God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for God's grace this morning. I'm thankful that God's grace is available to every man. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But Noah found grace. And with that grace, he was then told to build an ark. Now, Noah had never seen rain before. It was estimated, and I don't know how accurate it is, and I don't know how you can figure this out, but it's estimated there was over 1 billion people on the earth at that time, and it could have been way more when you start figuring out the lifespan and all the children that they had. But Noah, for about a billion people there, for 120 years, was not only a preacher of righteousness, as the Word of God says, but he was then now having to build an ark because God had commanded him to build an ark. He had never seen rain before, but he took earnest heed to the things which God had said, and he moved with fear to the saving of his house. He moved with fear because he believed God that it was going to rain, that there was a flood. He did not want to drown, so he built an ark. And I can only imagine the mandate of going through that, of chopping down the trees. There was not a Lowe's to go to. chopping down the trees and getting those to get where you get the pitch for all the different rooms in the ark, and working and working and working, and maybe not spending time with the kids or with wife, and not only to find out what kind of mockings were taking place as he was building this ark, because people had never seen rain before. I begin to think about that. People have never seen rain fall from the sky. You understand the application there. We have not seen Jesus Christ appear in the clouds yet either, but he's coming. He is nigh unto coming. And as we see the days getting closer and closer, we need to continue to build our ark. We need to continue to get the gospel message out that's able to save people's souls, because there is a rapture coming. He is going to sound the trumpet. So we see the parallels there that we can give earnest heed to the commandment that God has given us. But he told Noah to build that ark. And you know what he did? He did. He built the ark because he found grace in the eyes of God, and he was able to save his family, 8 souls, and all the animals that got on that ark too. I'm just saying, it was a man that took earnest heed to the things which he had heard, and not one point in those 100 or 120 years that he built that ark, that he preached righteousness, not one time did he slip. Afterwards, maybe, but when he was working by God's grace, he did not let the things of God slip. All right, as we move on here, we see here, God gave him that commandment, but God also spoke by dreams. God also spoke by visions. And God also speaks to us through nature. Turn your Bible to Psalm 19. Leave your hand at Hebrews chapter 1, but Psalm 19. The Word of God says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." So creation speaks, and it also speaks as a universal language. We have people in here that grew up in South Korea, that grew up in China. We have people that grew up in Nigeria. We have people that grew up in Tennessee. I know that's a vast little difference between all those places and then Tennessee. From Texas to Alabama to you name it. And you know the universal language God's speaking to each of us? And if you'll trace it back in your heart, the first time that you consciously remember looking up to the heavens and seeing those stars, how you were just wondering, wow, what is that all about? Why are we here? I remember as a young boy in Buffalo, Texas. This is the halfway point between Houston and Dallas. People from Houston, we only wanted to go halfway to Dallas. We didn't want to go to Dallas. That's kind of like the Auburn and Alabama thing. We didn't have anything to do with the Dallas people. But nonetheless, Buffalo, Texas, as a young boy on the farm, my grandpa had cattle, barbed wire fences. We'd go out there where there's no street lights, and you're able to look up at the sky, and you really see the night sky then. And I was just amazed at that, how God's firmament, how God was showing his majesty and his glory by the things in the sky. And it even went further than that when I ended up joining the United States Navy. I remember being out in the Pacific Ocean on some of those long nights where we're on those month-long cruise to get over to Saudi Arabia or the Persian Gulf, and you're out there on the aircraft carrier, and you're out there standing watch or looking at the back, look at the back of the ship and looking up at the sky. You see all the horizon around you and all the magnificent things that God has created. God does speak by creation. God speaks by nature. I was reading someone that even trumped that. It was John Glenn. In 1962, he became the first American to orbit the Earth. He did it 3 times. And I wrote a statement down that he said, this was the famous astronaut. It says, "To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is impossible." Amen. He says, to look out at this kind of creation, and he's looking at Earth as he's reporting back to a home base there as he's in the sky. "To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is impossible." Amen. It is impossible, and I agree with that statement 100%. Now, unfortunately, I continue to read John Glenn and some of his other statements. Just like other religious people, John Glenn was a proponent for evolution. Just because he believed in the Creator did not believe that in creation doesn't mean he didn't believe in evolution. So here's my warning. The sky, the stars, yeah, God speaks by using those, showing His glory, His power. But you don't get saved by looking at the skies and the stars. You don't get eternal life by just believing that there's a God that created. You get eternal life by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Even though He is a proponent of evolution, let me give our people a warning right now. When you go into this world system, when you go to people who are not what they need to be for God's glory, the two areas that's going to come under attack in your life, young people, older people, people that are slipping in your life, you need to listen to me right now. The two areas they're going to come and you're going to be bombarded by is evolution and the Word of God is written by man and you can't believe it. Satan and the people are going to attack you with evolution. I had not too long ago knock on a guy's door. I never met a guy like this before, but he was a evangelical evolutionist. It was bizarre to me. I was with Brother Andrew, and he would say stuff like I would say if you'd listen to the Word of God, God can change you. He was saying that if you just listen to my words about evolution, evolution can change you. I'm thinking, no, it can't. This is a bizarre world. But nonetheless, you need to protect yourself because as well as I'm speaking right now, there are people right now in danger of slipping. If you will not firm it in your heart, take earnest heed to the things that you heard, that evolution is a lie, that God in heaven created God created the heavens and the earth, His heavens declare His glory, and you need to firm that up in your heart and your mind, and that His word is true, that His word is real. The same God that created the stars, the heaven, the sun, the moon, is the same God that gave us the Word of God, has preserved it for us, promised to keep it for us, and we can take it as authoritative in our lives. Every single word of that. You need to fortify those two things in your life, because if you don't, you're prone to slip, you're prone to wander, you're prone to get away from the things of God, and it'll end up destroying your life. Give earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And then all of a sudden death and danger comes upon your life and you find yourself in predicaments that you never thought you would be in because you did not take earnest heed to the things that you had heard. Please listen. Listen to God speaking. Listen to the Word of God. Creation, the Word of God. Mark it down. If you do not earnestly heed, you will end up slipping. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. I must hasten on this point about creation speaking. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, it says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Friend, you know that if you're in here faking it till you make it, and you have not taken Christ as your personal Savior because of creation speaking to you, because all that you heard, you were without excuse. And I plead with you right now, don't fake it until you make it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to end up getting to a place where you slip completely from the things of God, and you're not going to have anything to do with God because you didn't take heed to the things that you had heard. We at Madison Baptist Church hear such solid biblical preaching that what I've noticed is it makes us dull in hearing sometimes. I know coming from Texas, and I hope my pastor's not listening to this from Texas, we didn't get always the best biblical messages down in Texas. We at times were anemic. We are starving, and evangelists would come in and say, "Man, this is great preaching ever. We're getting fed. We're getting food here." And I'm not trying to beat up I love my pastor. But the thing is now I get fed all the time. I'm having steak and lobster all the time. And what happens is when you're around benefits, when you're around luxury, when you're around things, you become complacent to what you have. You can become complacent to what you hear, and we become dull of hearing. We stop being thankful for what we have. We stop being thankful for what we heard. We start judging and condemning and saying, "Well, he said that too loud. He said that too angrily. He said that." Listen, we do everything we can as the man of God, as the minister of God, to get the message out so that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart so you hear and make some decisions to help save you and your family. That's why the preacher speaks loud. That's why there's a fervent message going out, because it's serious business here. Because God has spoken. He has spoken. His word is real, and creation itself testifies of that. You do not need to turn there. I need to hasten. But God is also, if you look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "In these last days spoken," or look at the bottom of verse 1, in past times unto the fathers by the prophets. He's also spoken to the fathers. And again, the repetitiveness of this, he spoke to them about the word of God. In Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 22, you can write that down if you want. You don't need to turn there. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between thine eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thy rises up. And thou shalt write them upon the doors of thy post of thy house and upon the gates, that your days may be multiplied, and that your children and the days of your children in the land which the Lord God sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to cleave to him. And he says in Deuteronomy 26, he says, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I've commanded you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. God says, I put a blessing and a curse before you. I will bless you beyond your belief. I will open the windows of heaven if you'll but just do what I tell you to do. If you'll obey me, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll keep my word, I will bless you. But he says, if you won't, I promise you, because of who I am, I have to curse you. I have to deny you. I will laugh at your calamity. I will not receive you. I will not hear your prayer. You have to obey my word, is what he tells you. If you are not born again, this is not polite to you right now. What you need to do is you need to take Christ as your personal Savior. Because you can obey all the Word of God and be lost and end up dying, going to hell. You need to believe in the Jesus of the Bible to save your soul, to forgive your sins, and to take you to heaven when you die. If you're like that today and you've let the Word of God slip. Matter of fact, the whole context of Hebrews right now I believe the Apostle Paul, but we know God wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not getting into that right now. But the whole is these Jews were slipping back into Judaism. And he's telling them right now, don't you let the things that you heard, let them slip. Don't. If we gave you the word of God, if Jesus Christ has spoken to you, given you salvation, you don't anytime let those things slip. It goes on and says, how shall we neglect so great salvation if we let these things slip? We're not going to neglect this salvation because God is speaking. And he's speaking to us fervently. And now we look at verse 2. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us, look at this, by his Son. Now he's speaking to us by Jesus, the creator of the universe. And now he's going to show where Jesus is supreme. Watch where he's supreme. Jesus Christ reigns supreme as the Son of God. He says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He reigns supreme, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He reigns supreme as heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He reigns supreme as the creator of the universe. He reigns supreme by the brightness of God's glory. Look at it. It says here, who being in the brightness of glory and the express image of his person. He is supreme in this express image of his person. And Jesus here is declared to be the exact and perfect manifestation of God, very being and the substance and the essence of his person. This is not only describing Jesus as God, but that he's entirely and exactly God, exactly identical to the entire nature of God the Father. Jesus Christ, the Son, who is the Creator, who is the Heir, who is supreme, the brightness of God's glory, has now spoken to us, has given us His Word. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. God has spoken to us. Now, I could tell you all that Jesus had said, we'd be here for a lot longer than noon. Because Jesus had, He taught so many things to his disciples. He's taught so many things to us. But again, I want to go back to showing you where he taught about the Word of God. Look at Mark chapter 4. It says, And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into the ship and set at the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea of the land. So Jesus Christ was accustomed to going to the synagogues. But the God of the universe was so compassionate that he just did not speak to the religious zealot folks. He went by the seaside where the great multitudes, where the whole multitude could hear him. He went by the seaside. In verse 2, he says, and he taught them, look what it says, many things. He taught them by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. He's teaching them many things. He first says to them, what's the first word that it says right there? Hearken.
He's saying, I want you to listen. You understand when Jesus teaches in the parable, he's teaching us to hearken, to pay close attention, to take earnest heed, to listen, and to understand what's being said. He's preaching this so we're not lazy hearers. Do you know in the church, we don't need to be bird fed? By mama bird coming and putting the word of God in your mouth or putting the food in your mouth, that you need to be doing your own study in the word of God, and you need to find out what God is speaking to you, and you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Don't be lazy in your Bible study. Don't be lazy in reading the word of God. Don't be lazy in discerning what the word of God is speaking, because God has given that to you to know him so that you can obey him, so you can live after him. Do not be lazy in your Bible study. He's given them a pattern right here. He's given them some parables, and he's going to go and say, this is for you to hear because they will not hear, because they're dull of hearing, basically. It's not made to know, for them to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, because they were just coming to hear. They weren't giving due diligence. They weren't taking earnest heed to the things what they're saying. They were just coming to hear a good sermon or a good message. They were not really wanting to know what it said. They just wanted to have their ears tickled a little bit, be entertained so they can go home and say, what did you think about that message today? Well, I didn't think that was all that great. No. You need to give earnest heed to the things which are being said. He says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it was much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying, I want you to earnestly heed the things which are being said right now. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked him the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but of them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? He's saying here, you need to know this parable so you'll know all parables. You need to give hearken. You need to give heed to the things that I'm telling you right now. He gives them the parable. He says in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So the sower is the one that gives out the word of God. The word of God comes from heaven. The sower then gives out the word of God. And the sower doesn't know where the word of God is going to fall. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and just praying and hoping that it falls on good ground. Here a little, there a little. Please God, let it fall on good ground. Please God, would they hearken to what's being said? Here a little, there a little. That it would hearken, that you would hearken, that you would take earnest heed to the things that you're hearing, that would fall on good ground. Let's look at the story here in verse 15. It says here, and these are they by the wayside where the word of God is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we have here right now, we have people that are by the wayside, people where Satan is very active and taking care of the word of God and the loose, careless hearers of this crowd. There are loose, careless hearers, not really paying attention what the message is, not really paying attention to what's being said. And the moment they're like that, Satan then comes in and snatches the word out of their heart. Time after time, day after day, month after month, as I knock on doors trying to plead with people, I see people that are loose and they're listening. Give a courtesy ear. This past week, and I don't have time to get in a bunch of illustrations. I understand the hour. But I was trying something a little bit different this week. You're doing something different. Yes, it's okay. It was godly, all right? Settle down. But I was in the military. I spent 4 years in the United States Navy. I said, I haven't used this before. Let me go ahead and use this. Because I will knock on a guy who's older, looks like a veteran, and I'll say, hello, sir, how are you doing? I was in the United States Navy, and I'm also a preacher. I came by to say hi. And they perked up, and they said, really? And we start talking a little bit, and I start getting into my testimony. And you see the door starting to shut. But they were listening. It was a way to get them to listen to the gospel message. This is what I want to do. I want them to listen. I want to put out the seed that will fall in some good ground.
Amen.
Giving them the gospel, giving them the word of God. But they're loose ears. They're very loose in hearing, not really giving heed. Don't really want to hear what's being said. John chapter 3 talks about that. They don't want to come to the light because of their darkness, because their deeds are evil, and they don't want to be accountable to anybody. They believe what they believe, and if there's a God, they don't want to be accountable to Him because they just don't want to think along those lines. It's corrupt thinking. So there are people that it falls on loose hearers. Satan comes and steals the word of God. Look at verse 16. In verse 15, he's very busy in this group. Verse 16, the next verse, "And these are they like which have sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in them themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." So when they have storms, when they're persecuted, they're offended, and this is not good ground. They end up falling aside, and we could put names and faces with every one of these people in these verses. Each one of us can. Look at the next verse. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things." So we see three things here. Cares of this world. Don't be filled with the cares of this world. It will choke the word of God in your life. It will not allow you to give earnest heed to the things if you are heard, if you're filled with the cares of this life. Put the cares of this life aside. Turn off the Rush Limbaugh. Get off the Fox News. Don't be so enthralled with the cares of this life, because it will hinder you from doing the things that God would have you to do. Yes, we're in a political mess right now. I understand that. On both sides and all around us, that's not our business, folks. We vote when we need to vote. That's fine. But don't give yourself over to it, because what it's going to do, it's going to make the Word of God unprofitable in your life. You get deceived by riches, abundance. Not just financially, but talents. And again, like I said, with always hearing great sermons and great messages, it's going to allow the word of God to have none effect in your life. It's not going to have power in your life if you're not going to give earnest heed to it. And then it says, lust of other things. Be careful not to lust after the things of this world. Be careful not to lust after the things that God does not have for you. But then there's a group of people that it's sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60, some 100. I read that wrong, but some 40-fold. No, I'm thinking of reading. "And receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. There it goes. "And he said unto them, is a candle brought and put under a bushel?" Okay, go down to verse 23. "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And he said, verse 24, "And he said unto them, take heed what you hear." You need to be careful what you hear, and you need to give earnest heed. Now, I'm running out of time here, and I understand that, but the message I have for you this morning, that was all introduction, and I introducted all the way until closing time. That's just pretty smart there. I need to go back to homiletics, learn that a little bit better. But let me tell you what to give heed to, and this goes about relationships. The first thing you need to give heed to is your relationship with God. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, Jesus says, unless the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you come this morning and you are not saved, in a moment we're going to have an invitation, and I invite you to come. There are going to be two men of God standing down here that will direct you in the ways that you ought to go. They'll direct you in the gospel message. But you have to make that decision whether you're saved or lost. And if you're lost, you need to find out. You need to find out how to get saved, Christian. If you're saved and you've let it slip, your relationship with God, that you've fallen out with God, fallen out of love with God, and you've stopped. You've omitted some of the weightier matters in your mind. You stopped doing the things that you used to do, like praying. Maybe going visiting, maybe helping someone with their groceries, or helping a neighbor, or working in the nursery, or being an usher, or whatever it is, singing the choir, teaching a Sunday school class, and you've got weary and well-doing, and you've let some things slip, then you need to take the opportunity to get right with God this morning. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar and get those things right and reestablish your relationship with God and determine that you're not going to let the things of God slip in your life. relationships with husband and wife. Husband, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wife, you need to see that you submit to your husband and that you reverence your husband. You need to speak good about him. Parents, you need to make sure that you're raising your children with godly admonition. Don't let that slip. You got one shot at it. Don't let it slip. You got one shot to raise them for God's glory. Do not get bitter against your children. Do not get angry with your children. And you raise them for God's glory. And don't get weary in that. If they need discipline, give them discipline. If they need love, give them love. Don't get weary in raising your children for God's glory. It is the next generation that we have at Madison Baptist Church. Don't get weary in it. And children, you need to obey your parents. Don't get weary in that either. The relationship we have with the church. What have you stopped doing? And I'll close with this illustration. And I'm past time, I know that. I'll close with this illustration. A few years ago, I was knocking on a door, and it was an Army veteran. And he said to me, he says, the one problem I have in the church is that it's not as close as it could be. He says, my Army buddies, man, we are thicker than blood, and we'll cut for each other, we'll fight for each other. No matter what, we're there for each other. And you may know somebody like that if you were in a football program. You have what you call brothers, people that you're just buddies with those people. And I begin to think about that. Why in the church are we not close to people? I've started examining myself, and I found out the people I'm closest to, like Brother Petrie, Brother Walt, I have Brother Brian Snyder, other people, I found out, you know what? What I found out is these are people I'm in the battle with. People that I'm constantly going to war with, trying to win souls, praying with, on my knees with, serving the Lord together with. That's what's missing right now is we got weary in the battles. We're not fighting with each other. I don't mean like that. I mean in the battle with each other, doing the things of God and then on the front line for God's glory. And we need to take heed, take earnest heed to the things which we have heard and not let them slip. And also our separation. We don't need to let that slip. I know I said I was going to close, but I wasn't telling the truth. I'm not closing just yet. We don't need to let our separation slip. Amen. And it dawned on me in the Sword of the Lord conference, separation is not about just separating. It's not what we separate from. But listen to this. It's who we separate to. The God of heaven. And if he says don't, don't. If he says do, do. That's just plain. And there's nothing you should hold on to so strong that if God says don't do it, you're not willing to say yes, sir, because I love you. Yes, sir. Don't let the things of God in your life slip. You take earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence, and we ask that you move in our congregation. We ask that you move in our lives. I'm asking you in my own life, Lord, that you help me not to let the things of God slip. I'm asking, Lord, if there's anyone in this congregation that has let some things slip in their life, whatever it may be, family, church, love for you, love for individuals, forgiveness, Lord, just being able to go through the trials without complaining, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide people to come to an old-fashioned altar to get that settled, Father. I'm asking if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you as personal Savior, and that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to yourself. And Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. I want to ask you a question with your eyes closed.